Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Look like we're going to still run into a little bit of audio difficulty, but we're not going to let that stop our show in terms of what God has prepared for us to do here on this particular internet radio station. We're going to go ahead and read the announcements. We're going to go ahead and get started. For some reason, we know at all times, sometimes we run into what you call switchboard problems, but we just declare by the word of God that he's always on time. What he's doing in this ministry in terms of what he's giving me, the actual vision in terms of what we're going to be doing here on this radio show. But we want to thank you for joining us in, join with us on this radio station this afternoon. You know, we just want to push forward. Because most of you who come on the show, you find out it starts out with an audio recording, the music comes forth, and then after a period of the music, you know, my voice actually comes in and actually presents the message that we're going to be speaking on this afternoon. But as I said before, we are just running. We are actually driving blind here. Our studio has actually shut down. We get the audio recording, and hopefully you guys are hearing my voice here as of right now. But for the time of the show, the scheduled unit time of the episode, we're not getting anything. But we believe by the word of God that whatever it is, the enemy doesn't have any right to come in and stop. That's what God has called us to do on today. For most of you who are joining in with us, I know that I'm Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas, Texas. I just want to give you some of the information concerning the show and what we do here, what we're going to be doing here on this afternoon concerning the show. For those of you calling in, you want to call into the actual studio and be a part of the show. As I said before, we can't see the number when you call in. So don't feel negative or don't feel bad about that. We can't really pick you up or get you to receive your call because, like I say, we're actually driving blind here. No studio information, no wording, no number time accounting. We're just actually, I would say, flying by the seat of our pants, in other words, as they say in some of the old school sayings. But those of you who are calling into the show, I believe the number is still actually in operation, and that number is 347-637-1074, and that's going to bring you to the actual studio part of the show. But on the other part of those who come to the actual internet part of the show, you want to go to the website. You want to go to Harvest New Life Church. That's harvestnewlifechurch.com. You want to go to Schedules and Services. And if you go to Schedules and Services, you'll see all the information you need in terms of coming to the show. Matter of fact, when you go to Schedules and Services, just take your little cursor there and click on Schedules and Services and go down through midway through the page. And you're going to see a little icon saying blogtalkradio.com. It's going to be /HarvestNewLife. And as you click on that, it'll bring you actually to the actual internet phase of the show this afternoon. But we're not going to delay the time, as I said before. We want to keep moving and we'll hear what the Lord has to say concerning the word that's coming from the kingdom on this afternoon. And I believe it's going to be a great word. But let's go ahead and just open up with prayer and hear just what the Lord has to say concerning what's coming from the kingdom. Amen. We're going to be in the book of, those of you getting started, we're going to be in the book of Exodus. And also starting off, we're going to be over the area of Chronicles. As a matter of fact, we're going to be in and out of the Word today. It's a lot of information that God has given me on this afternoon concerning this Word of walking in faith and believing, declaring, decreeing the Word of God according to His Spirit. But as we open up with prayer, I want you to prepare yourselves to open your Bibles over to the book of 2 Chronicles. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're going to start there, and we're going to hear just what the Lord has to say concerning His Word on this afternoon. Father God, we thank you for every opportunity, for giving us the opportunity to just stand in the midst of your stage, to be in the presence of where you are on today, just to be able to declare and decree your word that's coming from the kingdom. Father, we know that no weapon can be formed against us. We ask you, Father God, to look over us, keep us safe, keep us sound from every hurt and every harm and every danger that ever tried to come against us. We declare by the power of God and by the power of the Spirit that even as we continue to bring this forth, this word, we know through you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible according to your kingdom. Father God, we know according to your will, your purpose, and your power, we know that through you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible. Lord, we are the believers.
or we sanctify and we declare ourselves according to your will. Lord, just Lord, this word that we speak on tonight, let it be a word that goes into your third heavens. As Apostle Paul said, there were things in the third heavens that he wasn't even able to utter. Father God, let through your word, through the power of your prophet, Father God, give them an undescribable word, a word of the declare and decree according to your will, your purpose, and your power, that even as we go on today, Father God, that even as the things that kind of come against our lives, situations, circumstances, all these proclivities to try to subvert us and make us feel opposite of what you have declared according to your kingdom. Lord, we call it been doused. We call it been shut down in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We declare by the power and the absolute power of the Holy Ghost and according to angelical forces, Lord, surround us on this afternoon as this word come forth, Lord, not for myself, but let me be the mouthpiece of the kingdom. Your word is decreed and declared according to Romans 2:7, that he who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to his church. Father God, I declare this word, I decree it, I speak it, I call it been done, I send it forth, knowing it's a word that will not come back void, but it will accomplish all that and therein. These things I speak not of myself, but of the power of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. Well, as we said before, we're going to start in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Some very interesting information concerning walking in authority of the power of the Spirit in terms of what the Word of God has decreed according to Psalms 84:39, in 39. And he has declared that his words he will not alter, nor will he alter the words that come out of his mouth. David declared, according to the book of Psalms 89:34, over the 35th verse, said that God has swore by his holiness, that's by the power and authority that's coming out of the man of God who's created to do the work, being that king of Israel, that even when he was in the midst of being in his sheep clothes, and Saul being denounced, and David being raised up in the spirit, people looked at Saul as if he didn't have what it take to move forward to be the next king of Israel. But I declare by the word of God so unto you, that even when people look upon you and look at you as if you don't got what it take to get an overflow from the kingdom of God, I bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. I send it back, him and his sisters and brothers, back to hell in which they come from. And I decree by the word of God and by the moving and the power of the Holy Spirit, this word on tonight will be a word that will amplify your spirit. And whatever you're dealing with and whatever you're going with, it's got to shut down according to the power and the purpose of God's word. It says over in the book of 2 Chronicles 20, he said, and it happened after that the people of Moab and the children of Ammon and others with them beside the Amorites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Now, we want to listen to this because this is a word that's coming from the kingdom. We know that there are some things that go on in our life. It seems to carry that Amorite and that Moab and that Ammon-type spirit. But it seems like sometimes as we get rid of them, it can't shake. And once we pray for it, it seems like a few months later, it's right back in our face once again. But hear the word of God over in 2 Chronicles 20:2. Then came Jehoshaphat, saying that a great multitude that cometh against you beyond the seas of Syria, and they are the Hazathimer, and which is of Engild. And Jehoshaphat, what did he do? He feared to set himself to seek who? The Lord. That's an automatic Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom. And all of these things, whatever is going on in your life, God is about to let you know that the battle is not yours, but it's his. And he's a God who's never lost a battle. They said they seek to proclaim the Lord, and they took on a fast while all Judea. And Judea gathered to ask the help of who? The Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. They seemed to seek who? The Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before what? The new gate. Hear the words of the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit as he began to speak the words to this man of God. He says over in the 6th verse of 2 Chronicles 20, and he said, O Lord, our God, our Father, are you not the God in heaven? And do you not rule it over all the kingdom of the nation? And in your hands are there not what? Power? Am I speaking to someone this afternoon? And might? so that no one is able to withstand you. Let's move on down here for the sake of time. Let's move on down to the 11th verse. And here are the real word. Here are the real word us beyond coming through us out of your presence, which you have given us to inherit. Now look what it says. Here they are rewarding us, or the rewarding of us by coming to us to throw us out of our possessions. Then the word of God said, this is a land that he's given you. This is his inheritance he's put in you. According to the book of Jeremiah, we look at Jeremiah 1:5, God said before you was even created, he gave you a gift according to the power, according to the purpose that he has invested in you, knowing through you. According to Jeremiah 32:17, is there anything, am I speaking, too hard for him to do? God has given you the ability, according to Romans 4:17, to call things in your life that be not, though if there were. The Bible declares that the just shall and will walk by faith. The Bible declares, according to Hebrews 11, faith is evidence. Baby, I may can't see it, but I believe through the presence of the word of God and what he's left in my hand, that if he's done it for him and Jehoshaphat, he'll do the same for me. He says over in the book of 2 Chronicles 20:11, that these men are coming to throw them out of the possession that God has already given through an inheritance. Now, we're going to get back to the book of Exodus here in a minute. We're going to follow this up, and we're going to tag team this word, and we're going to hear what the presence and the power of God is about to do in the lives of them that believe. The Bible says to him that believe, come on, somebody, all things. He didn't say something, but all things are possible to the believer. He goes on in 11 verse. He said, O our God, will you not judge them? Not us judge them, but as they come against us, will God judge them? See, your enemy's going to come at you to judge you. They're going to put you down, say all kind of manners of things all about you. But I believe through the presence and the power of God, he says that no weapon can be formed against you shall prosper. I believe the words decreed and declared, and nothing shall be able to stand. These men came out of whatever hill or whatever hell they came out of, and they're trying to come against the people of the Most High God. There is a defense system that God has set before you and let you realize and understand that the battle that you fight in these fights, according to what I've given you, is not yours. You got to depend on using a Psalms 3:4. Lean not to your own. Am I talking to somebody this afternoon? But you got to go through the process of acknowledging God in all of his ways. And I believe the word of God says he will direct your paths. That's what the word of God is declaring and decreeing. That we got to speak according to Romans 4:17, and we got to prophesy. And we got to speak on our lives, and we got to call our situations that be not though if they were. He goes on again, as I read over in 2 Chronicles 20:12, our God, we not judge them, for they have no power, am I speaking, against the great multitude that come. We have no power against this great multitude that cometh out against us, nor do we know what to do. But your eyes are upon what? You. We're looking toward you, leaning not to our own, but we acknowledge you. There's a vengeance. There's an area of a heritage that you have given us, and you made a promise to us according to your word. And there, here come these soothsayers. Here come these imps, these Chaldeans. Here come these Pharisees, and all these proclivities, these problems coming against that which you have given us. Lord, you declared unto me that your word will not go void. Am I speaking about that Isaiah 55:11? He said the word that I speak will not go void. Am I speaking to you? God has swore, according to Psalms 84:85, that he, through David, he swore through his holiness. So has he done to you. God has given you the ability to know that no weapon can be formed against you. It's got the ability to prosper. But what we're going to do at this particular point of jumping off this relay and moving to what God has declared is about to happen, is already happening in our life, we're going to move our story over to the book of Exodus. Let's move over to the book of Exodus. Let's hear what the Lord has to say concerning the kingdom. I tell you, though, God is about to speak this afternoon, and I decree by the word of God that any negative form of any negative tongue that ever try to speak out and try to check that what the prophet is about to speak, now I declare your tongue will be cleaved, because the word is about to come forth to the ears of the believer. I don't worry about your degree. I don't worry about your scholarship. I don't worry about any of your so-called theology. Your energy and your word and your education can never supersede the revelation. You got to get the wisdom and understand that God will give you an undescribable word. That's an unteachable word that comes from any book that's wrote by any man. You need to read what it says over in 1 Corinthians 2. And you need to come to the understanding that everything that God has put in you has come from the kingdom. Fresh word, fresh rhema, fresh revelatory knowledge, according to the will and the purpose and the power of God. Let's look over here in the book of Exodus, and let's see what this word that we got in 2 Chronicles 20 is about to send us through, about how the battle is never ours, but it's God. He says over in Exodus, chapter 3, as he began ready to send forth his powerful servant Moses to do the very will and that is just and in jest against that which is called Reverend Pharaoh. And we're going to find out what the power of God is going to move according to his will, according to his word, and according to his purpose. Amen. Now it says over here in Exodus 3, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to Horeb, in the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush had not consumed. When God is about to give you a word, he's about to show you something, he's going to get your attention through amazing miracles and demonstration. He's going to make sure he got your eye, because what a man does, he comes with the mouth, but God comes through demonstration inward, and he'll shut down everything around you, that you will get a sound up engineering sound inside of you, that you have no doubt that this ability that was taken back before your eyes is the power of the Most High God. Listen to me as we move on down to verse 6 of Exodus chapter 3. For the sake of time, we want to move on this. And it says, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and I am God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Excuse me on that end. And Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look upon God. Now we got to check on this. You can't see God face to face. The word decrees and declares that Moses saw his backside. But God is about to enter in a relationship with Moses, and he's about to be one of the most meekest men on earth. Because on that mountain, God is about to do some purification and some one-on-one counsel with Moses to declare through his word that what I'm about to impute into you, that no man can ever deny that you're my servant. Let's move on. As we said, we're going to go over here to the third book of Exodus. We're going to move over, for the sake of time, as I said before, over to the seventh verse. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard they cry because of what the taskmasters. Anybody understand what a taskmaster is? Someone who in your life, or someone in back of those days, who put extreme pressure on the children of Israel to perform the duties of what they wanted to do. Some of us got taskmasters on our jobs. Some of us got taskmasters in our families. Some of us have taskmaster friends. I tend to call them in this day Ahab and Jezebel teammates, because Jezebel can't operate without an Ahab. And those people come into your ministry, and what they're designed to do is try to impute their instructions over the vision of what God has already imputed in you to do the work of which he called you to do. Isn't it amazing? When you look at a football team, a baseball team, a basketball team, it consists of so many members on the field. And once they get on the field or on the court or on the diamond, They got to do the jobs according to the one who instructed them to be able to claim that particular lead. And here it comes one somebody out of the stand, out of notice, who don't know anything about the sport. The only thing they have is they have a vision of seeing the sport. But they want to tell you how the game is supposed to be played. I call them what, armchair sportsmen. Men who never played in the game, never had the ability to play part of one of the games, but always had their fantasies about what they feel and believe that sports is all about. The much they ever played was probably street football, street basketball, only high school basketball. They never made it to a collegiate level. They never made it to the pro level. But they swore by their word and what they feel they think they know is better for the person on their court. And they got the right to what they call is to try to neglect them or try to insult them or try to judge them about what they didn't do in that particular game. As far as I'm understanding, these men who play on the football and play sports on the baseball and basketball on that particular level go to a strict and very highly trained course of preparing themselves to play that sport. Their body go under strict, rigorous pounding. And here it is, you ain't never touched a court. You sitting back with something in your hand, throwing something in your mouth, and you come to work and you criticize these men and got what they didn't do. Or what you feel they wasn't able to. That's why I call that Ahab. And then once you get to talking about it, then that person who jumps in with them, that's the Jezebel. They don't know anything about the sports, but they'll jump on any bandwagon that's moving. Let me move forward in this word where I get caught up on some things. And it says over in the 8th verse, so I have came down to deliver them out of the hands of Egypt and bring them up that to the land, that to, bring them to that land, to a good and large land. The land that flows with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Listen to me. And it says in verse 9, now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with that which Egypt oppressed them. Now, these things that God has spoke about, the Jezebites, the Hittites, and the Jezebites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, I mean, there's things that God has said that even in the midst of your taskmaster syndrome, or these what we call these spirits, these taskmaster spirits, these controlling things that's in your life, that you walk according to the flesh and not by the Spirit, according to Galatians 5 and 16. The word declares you ought to walk in the Spirit, that you fulfill the lust and the desires of the flesh. But sometimes in our life, there are taskmaster spirits. Take a person who deals with the area of masturbation. I'm just speaking candidly for somebody who don't understand. They say they're not going to do it anymore, but 2 minutes later, they'll find themselves days later doing it again. A person who smokes and can't seem to fight the syndrome. They find themselves saying, I'm going to quit, but a few days later, they're doing it again. A person who smokes, a person who uses spicy language, they find themselves trying to stop doing it, but they end up doing it. It's like they can't help themselves. And this is when God says, you can't lean to what you understand. That if according to Philippians 1 and 6, that if I begin a great work in you, I'm the one that's got to clean you up. In other words, you got to understand, according to the word of God, that I am the one that's got the ability to control your mouth. If you try to do 99% of your own, you're going to fall. When you lean on me with the very situation you're in, you've got to give the whole problem to me 100% and lean not to your own understanding, but you got to acknowledge me in all your ways, and then I'll give you the engineering design. I'll give you the generic plan, genetically engineered plan, excuse me, to show you what you have to do to get rid of that what it is calling you to be alienated in the area in which you stand. He goes on over the 10th verse. He said, he came now, therefore, I will send you to Reverend Pharaoh. I'm just throwing that in there. But it says in your book, to Pharaoh, to bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now notice what I'm saying. Moses is going into a mixed-minded place. People have been enslaved in their mind who don't understand what it is to walk in a land that flows with milk and honey. The only thing they've been pounded into them is building bricks with straw, taskmasters, eating leeks and garlic, and they don't understand what it is to go out of a $50,000 house to a $1 million house. So they got to be trained in the midst of the desert. Am I speaking to anyone this afternoon? For you to come out of the problem that you're in, that's holding you at bay in bondage, you got to believe and declare and decree that God has sent a word of Moses-type spirit into you to clear you up and take you away from that which has been alienating you and making you feel erroneous in your thinking. And you got to understand that through the will of God and through the purpose and the power of God, God has given you in the very angel ability that he sent before you to have an ear to hear, according to Revelation 2 and 7. And you got the ability, according to Romans 4 and 17, to speak out on your proclivity and be able to call it and prophesy it and be able to decree those things which you can't control that God has got the ability to control. Am I speaking to anybody this afternoon? I believe the word of God is moving. He goes on over in the tenth verse, for the sake of time. He said, but Moses said to God, who am I? This is how we speak sometimes. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Isn't that something? When God gives you what you call an unmasterable task, and he's giving you all the rules and all the regulations and all the power that you need, according to Luke 10 and 19, I've given you power. And you sat there in your own mind with an Egypt mentality and said, Lord, I don't think I can come out of this. The doctor told me I had this, but I don't think I could come out of it. But if it be the Lord's will, Lord, it's your will to come out of your mouth. If you want to live, then you say live. If you want to come out of whatever that you are in, then you speak to the Lord about it. You don't need to go talk to no man about it, because God say, I am the God of all nations. I'm the God that rule over all heathens, every problem that's in your life. And through the power of God that's been invested in him to give to you, you got to know that you have been given power. You have been given authority. You have been given dominion in areas of your life. That when the enemy stick his head up, God has given you a word with a two-edged sword to chop that head clean off and send that thing back to hell in which it come from. Am I speaking this afternoon? As I said before, let's roll on down here. We're going to, for the sake of time, I want you to read the rest of this in your time of your study, but I want to move forward on this word. And I want to go down there to the book of, we're going to stay in the book of Exodus. We're going to go to the 14th verse. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Matter of fact, let's back it up to the 13th verse. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? And what shall I say? The Lord put it plain and simple and told him, you tell them, Moses, you said to him, God said to Moses, you tell them, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am sent me to you. See, this is where Hebrews come in at. God has given you a word in an impossible situation, but yet because of the hardness of your heart, your stiff-neckedness, your hardened ear, you know, your boards just in your neck, you know, your the calluses on your heart. You overlooked the word because you was afraid about what people would say about you. Can I remind you of the story, what happened with Saul when he was chosen to be a king and Samuel went to anoint him? But even in the midst of him not obeying God fully in the words that he had told Samuel concerning what's coming from the kingdom, he was denounced and the word was withdrawn from him, and he was denounced on that particular day, that particular moment, that particular second. And in the midst of that, God had already raised up a king who was flocking the sheep, and David didn't look like he had the ability to be the next king of Israel. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. When people look at you and don't think what you got, what it takes to be what God called you to be, just keep living. Just keep moving. Just keep focusing like a laser beam and watch the hand of God begin to move in your life. Saul had the clothes and the looks of a king. It looked like he was still on the throne. But God had already chopped him down and denounced him in the spirit. That even when David was in his sheep clothes, God had already raised him up, said Babusa, in the spirit. That when they look at you and don't think what you got, what it takes, to get what God has put in you of an all-over kingdom, just keep living. And you'll see, time will tell when God does a work in your life. He goes over to Exodus 2 and 15. He said, moreover, God said to Moses, look, moreover, he's giving more stuff. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you in my name forever. Look at it. My name forever. This is my memorial to all the generation. When God gives you a word, am I speaking? Then he said his seed will follow your multiplication of your generation. That the foundation that you set in this life for your children's children, God will by no means take back that what he said. Let me remind you, as we go back over to the book of Psalms, 89 and 34. He says to David, he says that my covenants I will not alter. Well, God put a covenant in your life, and he has given you that he'll protect your children. They can run around and they can run around like their neck chopped off, like they don't know which way to go, up, look down, and right, look wrong. And it looks like they need a checkup from the neck up. Look like they tore from the floor up and need a checkup from the neck up. God will keep his hand on him because of the covenant that he put in your mouth that you pronounced and prophesied over their life, that even in the midst of destruction, they may fall under some things, but God will not go back on his word and what he proclaimed that he would do for your children. He goes on down to the 17th verse. We're going to move forth. We're still in the book of Exodus 2 and 17. And I have said I will bring you up out of your affliction. God said the same thing he's telling him. I will do the same for you. He said that I will bring you up out of your afflictions of Egypt to the land of Canaanite and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, to a land that flows with milk and honey. Am I speaking to anybody this afternoon? And even when it seems like things are going rough, just hold on. Psalms 27 says, just wait. Just wait on the Lord. Just have some faith. It may not look like it's moving for you right now, but just wait. He goes on in the 18th verse of Exodus 2 and 18. He said, then would he need the voice. Then they heed your voice, and you shall come, and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord your God. That word sacrifice, the word they used to use with me all the time, even when I played in collegiate sports and in high school sports. They said, you got to know how to sacrifice your body. You got to know how to give up something for somebody else. In other words, when it seems like a person is about to make a big gain or a big play, and the running back is coming around the corner, going through the 3-4 hole, whatever it may be, dive, the linemen sacrifice themselves to open up holes that running back may fled through or flee through, that he may score in a way that seems impossible to the defense. But God says bodies have got to be sacrificed. Men of God have sacrificed for us in the past that we may have the life. Matter of fact, let me speak it like this. Our family members, mothers, children, has went on, grannies, has went on before us, have sacrificed in the word that we may have this right to the tree of life that we're living right now. Don't think about coincidence that you're not here for a reason. Somebody in your life sacrificed for you, prayed for you every day, lifted their hands over you, told you to go to church, kept you in the hands of God, told you all the time, son, you got to pray. Daughter, you got to pray. And you got to teach your children to pray. Somebody sacrificed for you in the midnight hour to pray that you may have the life that you're living right here on today. We're going to move on over to the 4th chapter in Exodus, and we're kind of skimming through. We're going to move it through once we get a chance. You get one of my studies, and we go through the daily reading and going through the Bible for the year, you know, you can catch me on a lot of these stories as we go through, and they move pretty swiftly and pretty accurate as we're doing right now. It gives you a vivid understanding about what God is doing in the midst of his people, who he's bringing out of these very bondage situations. The sowers he brought them out, so he bring you out. But as we look at Moses from the time we started over in the third verse over to the fourth verse, we see that Moses is sent to bring the children up out of Egypt. God said, I've heard they cry, and now I've heard their oppression. Now they are crying out to me, and I'm sending them my Savior to be able to go down and speak that to that taskmaster that's owing to that Reverend Pharaoh, to that thing that's sitting over them. I call it a thing, and which he didn't understand and realize that God is about to bring him to his knees. And we're about to see that word here in just a few more chapters as we go forward. We on time and what the Word of God is speaking on you tonight. But I want you to get a revelatorial understanding about what I'm about to speak to you in terms of what's going on in your own life. Am I speaking this afternoon? Because I know God has got a word for somebody that's on this line. Even though we're flying blind by the studio board, and the enemy tried his best to keep this word from coming, but I heard the Word of God say in my spirit, no weapon, created, formed, last-minute decision can come against that what God has put in me to give unto you as being his children. Am I speaking to you this afternoon? It says over in the fourth chapter of the book of Exodus, and Moses answered, verse 1, and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say that the Lord or the Lord has not appeared to me. Doesn't that sound familiar? That sounds like us in the midst of our problem, in the midst of an agenda that the Lord has given us. Suppose. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when you understand that word suppose, and you understand assumption is the rule and the leader of all doubt. When your mind gets the swaving back and forth, thinking what God may have said, what he didn't say, you know he lost the battle right there in your mind. According to the book of Romans 12:2, he says your mind has got to be renewed. You got to get your noggin right. You got to get some manna between your brain. You got to understand that the word is coming to you is a revelatorial word. That even it seems like untaskable, God has given a word through the Spirit. That even when it seems doubtful to you in your own understanding, remember Proverbs 3:5 said, lean not. To your own. But your job is to acknowledge God in all his ways. And his ways will direct your path. The Bible declares and decrees, it's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of his death. Can I break it up for you for a minute? You look at your circumstances as if it's untackable, or it's unclaimable, or undominatable. And you understand and realize in the midst of your situation, you don't think you can come out. That's leading to your own knowledge and what you see in the physical aspect. This is a problem when we're walking in the spirit. You can't use your five senses of the natural ability when you're walking in the power of God. Because what happened with your natural senses, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your taste, your senses, they redirect you in a different direction. But you got to put all your senses into the hands of God. And you can't look at the parallel. You got to look at the vertical. You got to cast your eyes to the hills, in which all of your help come from. And the Bible declares that all of your help come from the Lord. This is why you heard me say earlier in the subject, or earlier during the course of this subject, or the course of this show, that you cannot use your own understanding even 99% of the time. You got to use God 100% all the time. You can't put yourself in there anyway. Because when you put yourself in there, that's an error for assumption. That's an error for swaving and not hearing. That's what God has to say. And you begin to put your own ideas in God's plan. God's word don't need no help. He don't need your help. What you got to do is line up with the Word of God and understand that through him, the impossible situations are already made possible through the faith that's in you. He says, so what, Lord, what if they don't believe me? In verse Exodus 4:1, and he said over in Exodus 4:2, so the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it, scared of their own power. Listen to me. God will make whatever it is in your life impossible, possible to go against your enemies. In other words, he will flip the script. As we talked about in Jehoshaphat, when you read the book over there in Second Chronicles, you go through that book, you'll find out that when they came to the hills of Zin and they looked over, the enemies that was coming against them turned against themselves. And they began to beat their own selves down. He said, you ain't got to fight in this battle. In other words, whatever seems to plague you or plaguing against you, God will do a role reversal on it. And call that what's coming against you to flip against his own self. In other words, God said they'll come in seven ways, but they'll flee in seven. They'll come one way, but they'll flee in seven. God will allow the power in the presence of God to do what it needs to do in terms of getting the victory through you, to prove to you in the eyes of those around you that you serve a God that cannot fail. Am I speaking this afternoon? Let's move on down here to Exodus 4 and 6. He says on 4 and 6, and furthermore, the Lord said unto him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and he took it out, and behold, his hand was leprous. Can you reveal that? Can you understand what he just done right there? Even in the midst of you living, I cause half of your body to die, but yet you still live. And he says over here in the 7th verse, and he said, put your hand in your bosom, or put it back in your bosom again. And he put his hand in his bosom, and again he drew it out of his bosom, and the hand was restored like his whole flesh. Am I speaking right here? Even in the midst of your problem, even in the midst of your situation, even in the midst of your hardship, even in the midst of things that were said to you, has no bearing to what the power of God can transform and change in your life. Is there any situation impossible for a God to do? Is there anything in your life impossible for a God to do? You may have came against some situations. You may be coming up against some situations. This is why it's always good to stay in prayer, because you don't know what your journey is going to be like, but it's always good to get up in the morning and don't take your day for granted. Thank God that the blood is still running warm in your veins. Thank God that your feet touched the ground this morning. Don't be mad about your situation. Don't be mad about your problem. Don't be upset because you don't have this, you don't have that. Thank God that he gave you the greatest gift, and that's life and blood running warm through your veins. And you got a chance to rise up and see your children, see your husband, and see your grandbabies. Thank God for those who have left you in the midst of teaching you to pray that God got them in a better place. You got to grieve in your own way. But we understand through the power of God, surround yourself with people of like-minded spirits that's not going to condemn you, but lift you up and let you understand that God will not fail in the midst of adversity. The Bible said that even though the earth, in Psalm 14, even though the earth remove, God will yet still be in the midst of your situation. Am I speaking this afternoon? It sounds like God is bringing a word. All you got to do is receive it in the name of Jesus. But I hear somebody in the spirit counteracting the word, and I just bind that spirit and loose that thing and send it back to hell, wrapped in the blood chains of Jesus right now. But I'm understanding right now that God is about to do a fantastic move in and on your life. Let me move on here. I want to go through some things right before our ending chapter. We want to move on for the sake of time. As I said, we don't have a whole lot of time concerning this word. I want to get much as I can on in you today, because I want you to see what the power of God is able to do in your life. And I was going to take you over here to the 5th chapter. I'm going to read a little bit of the 5th chapter of the book of Exodus before we move on over to our final chapter, which I want to deal with chapter 8 and 9 of the book of Exodus concerning the power of God and how he's made a division against all the problems in your life that he's taking care of, against the ones who actually went against God's word and had not received God's word to the point of coming out of the bondage in which they're in. Am I speaking? It says over in Exodus 5, in the 4th verse, Then the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people? Why do you take the people from their work? What is it? Why are you taking the people from their work? Get back to your labor. Uh-oh. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. You can put your hands on the wrong one. You're about to see some things here in a minute. Remember that word over in Exodus 5. Now, after hardening of Pharaoh's heart, when he came to tell him to let the children go, and he reversed the road and said, you two get back to your labor. Matter of fact, not only let them get back to their labor, I'm going to put a task on the people. I'm not going to even give them. They got to find their own straw, and I'm going to double the load. That's how the enemy, he put pressure on you. That's why I've been a power preacher. That's why I've been a power preacher like myself. You got to understand how to handle pressure. Most people can't handle pressure. They want to skim through stuff, and they just want to barely get through. They're lazy in their spirit. They're lazy in their thinking. They're lazy in their praying. They don't believe that God has got the ability to do what he said he's going to do. They believe that even when it looks like they're running out of time, God's word is not going to be fulfilled in their life. The first thing going to come out of their mouth, they're going to whip up, and they're going to say, let the will of God be done. The will is what comes out of your mouth. If you ask God to take away that problem in the midst of you, then God will do it. Am I speaking? If you ask God to deliver you from whatever it is that alienating you about it, then God got to do it. You got to set up and take your hand. Instead of trying to grease somebody else down, you got to grease yourself down. And you got to prophesy over yourself. And you got to declare the word of God that I should live and not die. I will see the vision of the vision. I declare by the word of God through the power that's invested in me that you are a spoken word. I'm asking you, Father God, let me live to see that which you have put in my hands. And let me not leave no sooner than what you have promised according to your word. You said you will give me 70 years. Lord, let me see the 70, and let me live beyond the promise of the 80s and the 90s to see that what you have declared to come to fruition. Am I talking? Yeah, you don't want to believe it, but I'm going to make you hear it anyway because you're about to see something in the scripture. He says over in Exodus 5 and over there in the 6th verse, so the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters, the people that's over them, you know, the things that's going on in your life, and the people and their officers saying, you should no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them gather the straw themselves. Now, this is how the enemy put pressure on you. You see, when you're going through, and it seems like you don't know which way to go, and you don't think you've done all that you know how to do. And the enemy started trying to apply pressure. He started trying to put a vice on you. But God said, hang in there. Don't give up. Keep on. I'm right. You're right there. You're almost there. You said, don't give up. Don't you move. You're going. He's telling you, look, I am in the midst of whatever you're going through. Whatever fire you was in, I got a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego anointing on you. That even you in the midst of your fire, in the midst of your proclivity, in the midst of your problem, the thing that you don't seem to know how to solidify to the point to realize that my word is a word that won't go back void. Am I speaking Isaiah 55 and 11? That according to the word of God, that his alternate, his plans, and his covenants, he will not revert. Talk to me, Psalms 89 and 34. He's talking to you. He's telling you. Read these words and harp on them. Believe that God is a God that he should not lie. Come on. Numbers 23:19-21. Am I talking? That you got to understand that he has been giving you a commandment. He gave you a commandment to bless it. He cannot reverse it. The Bible says, according to Hebrews 11, it's faith. Not only is faith, according to Hebrews 12, he said, I am the author. I come to show you. I'm clothed in spirit, in human form. Just to get among you, because if I came in the visible form, I'd have messed you up. So God clothed me in the human form. Now I become the Immaculate Conception right here on earth to show you through the power that has invested in him, that so do you have the power to do also. And as we move on here to the 9th verse, he said, to the book of Exodus 5 and 9, he said, let no work be laid on the men that they may labor in it. Look here. Let more work be laid on the men. Let more work be laid on the men, that they are labor in it. And let them not regard false words. And the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus say Pharaoh. Don't that sound familiar? The word of God say, go say, tell Pharaoh, thus say the Lord. Now, here comes Pharaoh in his own area. He's trying to be a god. The taskmaster said, the funkies, all them little funkies that's around them. I call them funkies, goons. Thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go yourselves. get your own straw where you can find it. I mean, go squand for it. Squand for your own straw. Yet none of your work will be reduced. So the people was what? Scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt. God about to shake up some stuff. They gave a word, but they don't understand. It wasn't Pharaoh's word that shook them. It was another shaking that's about to come. Like it says in the book of Hebrews 12 and 23, to the general assembly of the firstborn, those who are richest in heaven, to God the judge and the mediator of the just man made perfect. God said, I'm about to shake up some stuff in the book of Hebrews 12, 23 to 29. I'm about to shake it up. And anything that don't remain, you know, God's voice is speaking from heaven. And those who refuse him, you know, he's going to deal with you. God's got a loud voice that's coming through the men of God, through the prophets, through the pastors, through the apostles, to be able to speak a word unto the land, to the teachers, that you having an ear need to understand what Romans 2 and 7 is saying. Get in the spirit. Now, you don't want to feel the lust of the flesh. You want to hear what the word of God is speaking in this day and time. Let's move forward here. I want to get to something here, and I'm going to be on this for a couple of more weeks, and I'm be dealing with this area of the Bible, and I want to know, I want you to understand what great power God is vesting this word to give unto you, that you may understand and know that he loves you to the point that he's all the way out on the limb to help you in whatever it is that you're going through. God has given you the ability to move according to his power. And I know through him that everything and all things are possible. I believe I'm speaking to somebody this afternoon. I don't know who you are, but I'm telling you by the word of God, this thing is taking off to the point to get you to see that's what God is doing. He says over here, coming down to the end of this particular study on tonight, and we're going to be going on in it on next week. And he says over here, and I want you to see something in the book of Exodus 8, chapter 8. Let's go to chapter 8. Let's go to chapter 8, and let's look at the 23rd verse. I was talking to one of the young radio members this morning. We were talking about this and the power of God, and she called and she was telling me about some of the things that she had been dealing with. But I said, nevertheless, God is in the midst. Be faithful and know that he's going to bring you out of whatever it is. Now, don't worry about what it is that seemed to come at you in the physical. Speak in the spirit on it and have the wisdom to know that God gave you a word to denounce whatever it is that's trying to come at you. And you got to believe in your heart that even when it looks bad, God has already gave you a revelatory word that'll move forward in the spirit. Am I talking? He says over in the book of Exodus 8 and 23, I will make a difference between. He says, I will make a difference between the people, between your people and their people. By this time tomorrow, this thing should be. I will make a difference between my people and your people tomorrow. This sign should be. We talk about the swarms of flies. I got to move here. It's 7:52. We're moving in terms of this particular time. He talks about the swarms of flies, but he goes over here in the book of Exodus 8 and 4, and he speaks over in 8 and 4, and he says over in 8 and 4, he said, the Lord make a difference between the people and the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing shall die in all that belongs to the children of Israel. Am I talking to somebody? You worried about your job? You worried about your income? God is going to show you just what you need to worry about. And it says over in the 5th verse of Exodus 9 and 5, then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. Remember what the word of God says. Go tell Pharaoh. We got to hear this word real strong. We got to hear what the word of God is saying. He's speaking a word. He's speaking a prophetic utterance that he's about to bring his people out. And he's about to show them what the power of God can do. When you go back to the book of Exodus 7, you hear the word of God speaking to Pharaoh. I mean, speaking to Moses, telling Moses, I made you a god over the situation. Every god that Pharaoh has in the land, the god of flies, the god of fall, all these gods, these fertility gods, God's about to show him who the true God is. God's going to knock every one of his gods down. because the Bible said there should be no other God before me. He goes on over in the sixth verse, and he says, so the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all, listen to this, all the livestock of Egypt died, but the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Come on down with me down here to the eighth verse. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take yourselves a handful of ash from the furnace, and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. I'm going to let you see. You've been getting word, but you're going to see it right now. And it will come to the dust in the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils to break out and sores on men and beasts throughout all the land of Egypt. This is what happens when the enemy rebels against, thus say the Lord. When people come against you, you know the Lord has given you a word to do the work, whether you're building your church, whether you're having your congregation to come together, whether you need money, whatever it means to do the vision of God. And there's people who are speaking out against you in the midst of the vision. God is about to deal with that situation. God is about to deal with the very problems of your household, the very problems of your sanctuary. God is about to deal in the areas that you won't understand. That he says the battle is not yours, but it is God's. You got to believe and declare and decree that no weapon can be formed, that every word that God spoken out of his mouth, according to Isaiah 55:11, will not go void. God will do just what he said he's going to do. He goes on down here, and he speaks over here in the 10th verse of Exodus 9:5. He said, then he took the ass in the furnace, and he stood before Pharaoh. I'm going to do it in your face. He stood before Pharaoh and Moses, and he scattered it towards the heaven, and it caused boils to break out and sores on the men and the beasts, on the magicians, all his soothsayers, and stood before Moses before the boils, and the boils were on the magicians and all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord spoke to Moses. Now, this is a prophetic word he's speaking to. So everything he's saying is coming to pass. That's for the sake of time. As I say, we can move on down here to the 15th verse. Now, if he stretched out my hand and struck you and your people in pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose have I raised you up, that I may show my power, am I speaking, my power in you, and that my name may be declared. I'm talking about declare and decree. And now you know why your pastor on this land always saying declare and decree, that my word may be declared in all the earth. And yet you exalt yourself against my people, and that you will not let them go. Come on, somebody. Come on now to the 20th verse with me. We're finna get this thing here, and we're finna loosen. We're finna pray, and we're going to move on off this land. I want you to catch this word in its entirety. Go back and listen to this CD over and over again, because there's some meat in here, and I'm giving you so much in here today. It seems like it's a lot, but I'm giving you a lot in terms of what God can do for you in your life, that even it seems like it can't, you can't make it. He says over here in school, Hadabahusa, he says over in the ninth chapter of Exodus in the 20th verse, he feared the word of the Lord among the servants. Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the house. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. And then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the heavens, Allah Bahasa the Mosa, and there they may be hail in all the land of Egypt. There's no man, no beast, and on every man and on every beast and every herb of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Moses stretched out his rod toward the heavens, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire. Depart. The fire darted to the ground. It darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on Egypt. And it says in the 24th verse of Exodus 9, so there was hail and fire mingled with hail, so very heavy, that there was none like in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Listen to this. God doing some incredible things. And it says in the 25th verse, in the livestock, he said, in the 25th verse, beg my pardon, he said, in all the hail throughout all the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Listen to me. This is us. the believers. Only in the land of Goshen were the children of Israel, where there's no hell. God said, according to Romans, I'm stuck on this Romans for whatever reason, God said in the book of Exodus 8:23, I'm going to make a difference between your people and my people. And by this time tomorrow, you will know that I am God. For a quick minute, quick second here, let's hit chapter 10. Now the Lord Moses went to Pharaoh, and I have hardened his heart in the heart of the servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him. The third verse of Exodus 10. So Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said to him, thus say the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. Let's move on to the seventh verse. Then Pharaoh the servant said to him, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let this man go that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed? His own people tell him it's destroyed. God, in the midst of what you are, will call the situation that you're in to be destroyed right before your enemy's face. The net, the snare that they set for you, they'll fall into their own trap. They'll mock you, they'll laugh at you as you walk towards your destiny. But God is speaking all the time. I've devised a plan according to the Spirit that cannot fail. If you trust in me and you believe in me, whether you deal with sickness, whether you deal with disease, whether you deal with money problems, whether you deal with marriage, whether you deal with your children, put that word on them. Slap them with that word. And they may be in a place where they're not supposed to be. But while you're on your knees praying, they ain't going to be comfortable where they are. You may be in a situation that you're dealing with in the midst of your ministry. You may be in a situation you deal with in the midst of your marriage. You may be in a situation you deal with in the midst of your finances. You may be in a situation where you deal with something in the midst of your health. But I declare by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit, according to Jeremiah, according to the word of Jeremiah 32:17, in fact, is there anything, too hard for me being God, the creator of the universe, to do? I've been given a commandment to bless you. I cannot reverse it. But don't you go against my word. Heed every word that I speak and listen to everything that I put in your ear. Void not opposite conversation, because the word of God says evil communication corrupts good judgment. I remember during the course of the study, I was reading the Exodus, and it said that Moses speaker said, man is always want to rule over man. It's something about somebody want to have something over you. But you got to understand that through demonstration, through power, God has given you the ability, even in your own vision, to do what he declared to do. It's nothing wrong with somebody showing you the way for you to continue to fall in the fire. But a person who controls your vision and makes you feel that they got to have stakes on you, the devil is a lie. We declare by the word of God that that's got to be loose. This is why you got to have relationships with good people, good men of God, good women of God in the ministry. People is going to help you toward your vision and show you, not control your vision, but help you toward your vision. Even in your life, when you're going through circumstances, when you're going through problems, you got to have people that's going to be around you, that's going to help you, promote you, and push you up. When you're down in a crisis, when it seems like things are not moving right, you got to get away from around the soothsayers. And you got to get away from people who speak life and destiny into your situation. You got to believe, according to the word of God, that his word, that whoever he sent before you to help you, will not go void, but it will have the absolute power to do all that and therein. I am Pastor Charles. I was here at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas, and I thank you for tuning in with me on the Power of the Harvest Internet radio station. Most of you are glued to the TV, the television, the telling your vision. And I'm bringing a word that's going to help you. After the season is over, you're going to need God, because the word is coming to you even through the Internet, even through Facebook, letting you know there's a word that's on the line that's going to help you. But I have all kind of quotes this afternoon about what happened in a game. Now, I ain't saying nothing wrong with sports, but I believe it's a time and a season for all things. And this season right now is a word that's coming from the kingdom, that God has given a prophetic utterance for those who have an ear to hear. Let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church. Father God, I declare by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit that even in the midst of seem to be a proclivity, these seem to be negative, God, you have stretched out your hand towards your people over and over again. You have decreed according to the power of God in the book of Romans 10:5. He said that they had a zeal for God, that people had a zeal for you, Father God, but only according to the knowledge. For they went about, Father God, establishing their own way, and they heeded not to your way, Father God. I declare by the word of God that everybody come under subjection to the power of the Spirit, that they are lined up according to your will, your purpose, and your power. And whatever taskmaster, whatever bondage, whatever proclivity, whatever subverting, whatever orange cone, whatever stop sign is in their life, Lord, I declare by the word of God that they be tore up from the root up, and they be free from whatever it is that's holding them back from what you already declared in their life. Father God, I speak this word over their life. I decree it, I declare it, I call it been done. Not by my word, but by the power that you have invested in me, has been the prophet of this house. And I speak it according to the word of God. I speak it according to the Spirit, that no weapon formed against whatever it is that may be in their life and have the ability to prosper. I speak against every foreign subject that have come against every ministry, every worry that try to come against every ministry. I loose it in the name of Jesus. I wrap it in the blood chains of Jesus, and I send it back to hell in which it come from. And I declare by the word of God that they will flourish, they will grow, and the ministry will multiply, and the money will come in from everywhere. In the name of Jesus, that let them be a good steward of whatever God has put in their hand. Lord, I speak this word according to your power. I speak it according to your grace. I manifest it through the third heavens, Father God, that it be purified through the Spirit, that it be a word to come forth, and it will not go back void, but it will have the entire power to do all that in therein. These things I ask not of myself, but the power of the Most High God. I call it been done. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. As I said, this is Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church, and you have been listening to Power of the Harvest Blog Talk Internet Radio Program. For more information, to get in contact with me, please go to www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. Send me an email, or you can call the church itself, 214-870-2146. I'll be glad to take your call and hear the comments that you have to speak on or whatever the situation may be. But remember, I'm a pastor in the area that I'm going in, and I got time to play foolishness. So we believe that whatever it is that you have to speak to me on, it'll be something of destiny and something of urgency that we'll give a word from the kingdom of God to move forward what God is doing in your life. Once again, I am Pastor Charles of Alone, my beautiful wife, co-host, looking after my beautiful young daughter. God bless them in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for joining us on today. And we ask you to continue. We thank you for just remaining and being with us through this blind run. Because we didn't have no audio power or what was going on. We just believed God. And this is really a revelation that when you walk by faith and not by sight, God will do just what he says he's going to do. God bless you. God keep you. And we hope to see you on next week.